As we've been traveling through the book of Acts these past few weeks, we are learning what God's plan is since the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ. What will God be doing? And we have learned that he will be forming his church made up of Jews and Gentiles, and that his plan is for the gospel of God's grace through Jesus Christ is to go into all the world. So the disciples began to witness first in Jerusalem. And then in chapter 8, we learned that Philip went into Judea and Samaria. And with the salvation of Saul of Tarsus to become Paul, he is going to take the gospel into Asia Minor and other places. So God is fulfilling his plan so that the gospel has gone to Russia and to the United States of America. And we are here as believers because of God sending the gospel into all the world and to all kinds of people. This morning we come to chapter 10, where God is going to bring about the salvation of a Roman army officer named Cornelius. And so let's look at what God is doing now in saving this Gentile. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion or officer of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many gifts to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. So here is Cornelius, and he is the classic example of a person who is religious but unsaved. Here he is, he's going through all the motions. He's a man of prayer. He's a devout man. He gave money. He attended the synagogue, but there's something missing. The vital thing is missing. He's going through all the external motions, but he's unsaved. And God is going to arrange for his salvation, for him to hear the message of the gospel of Christ. And he is typical of thousands of people today in our country who are deceived into thinking that because they do certain religious things that they're okay or they're right with God, and they are not. The thousands of people in our churches who are still unsaved, unregenerate people, not right with God. And so Cornelius stands on the pages of Scripture as a classic example to us of that kind of person, which speaks to our own heart to be sure that we are not a Cornelius and that we are not going through the external motions of Christianity or thinking that we are right with God because we do external things. So Cornelius is a man in whom God's grace is working. He causes him to join with the Jews in worship in the synagogue. He's probably taking some flack and opposition from the rest of the Roman soldiers, but he is there, and he's a devout man, and he feared God, but he's lacking. He is not a saved man. He has never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So God is going to do something for him. And in verses 3 to 8, we see the revelation that comes from God that leads Cornelius on. Verse 3, about the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come to him and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze upon him, being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and gifts has ascended as a memorial before God. Now send some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel of the Lord who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now here is God initiating and directing and telling Cornelius what to do, and Cornelius responds to that in immediate obedience. There was no argument, there was no hesitation, sort of a strange direction. Send some people over to Joppa and look for a man named Peter. And the angel didn't really explain anything further. And Cornelius, if he is like us, he would have said, well, why? What's the purpose of this? Tell me what's going on. But no, he just immediately responded in faith, and he sent these men. Verse 8, after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, God has to do something else here. If a company of people are going to come from Cornelius, from Caesarea, and come to Peter, then God needs to prepare Peter. So in verses 9-16, we have God preparing Peter for that visit. Verse 9, on the next day, as they were on the way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. That's noon. And he became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparation, he fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky opened up, and a certain object or vessel, like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures of the earth, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And again a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And this happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky. God is preparing Peter, and he has to do something in his heart before Peter will go to this Gentile, because it was unlawful for the Jew to go to this man, go to his home, and witness to him, and God has to do something in Peter's heart. What is the issue here? Peter must be freed from the law of the Jews that God gave to Moses for the Israelite nation. Peter has to understand there is a new covenant in Christ and that he is no longer under that law. Now, the specific way that God taught him was in the matter of animals that God had declared unclean. And if you will read Leviticus chapter 11, you will get the specifics of what of the animals that God called unclean. The animals that they could eat were animals that had a parted hoof and chewed the cud. Now, if an animal chewed the cud but didn't have a parted hoof, they couldn't eat it. Or if an animal had a parted hoof and didn't chew the cud, they couldn't eat it. Had to have both. Now, why God determined that these were unclean, he doesn't say. He just said, this is what you can eat. And he talked about the birds they could eat and about what they could eat out of the sea. And he said that you can't eat anything that doesn't have scales. So if you're thinking of having a crab louie or a shrimp salad today, if you lived under the law, you couldn't eat it. And, of course, the popular thing that has become known, of course, to the Jewish culture is the pig, the swine. They just would not have anything to do with the swine because that was included in the law. So God sends Peter this object lesson by lowering a great vessel to the ground. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals. And the Lord said to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, what does Peter say back? He's on this side of the resurrection now. He's become a disciple. He has witnessed courageously. And Peter says to the Lord, "No way." Can you imagine it? "By no means, Lord. I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." God does this three times and says to Peter, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." We are not under the law that God gave to the Jewish nation. We are free to eat, and we are free to drink, and we are free in spiritual freedom. We need to learn that. This is the lesson. Spiritual freedom under the new covenant of grace. Peter has to learn that to be set free from this legalistic spirit which kills the Christian life, which kills churches. Two things kill us: legalism and moralism. Legalism is trying to establish righteousness before God by doing things, by keeping rules. Moralism is trying to be righteous before God by being good out of our own strength instead of depending upon God to change our heart and change our behavior. Peter needs to be prepared. And God is giving him an object lesson here to get free from that law, to get free of prejudice against the Gentile, to be free to be with the Gentile, to be free from being religious and have spiritual freedom that as Paul talked about to the Galatians. In chapter 5, it's recorded, "Stand, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm in the freedom that he's given you. And don't go back under a yoke of slavery. Don't go back under the law. Don't let them try to circumcise you as a religious thing that makes you right with God. Don't let them put you under the bondage of certain kinds of food or external religious behavior. Stand firm in the freedom in which Christ has set you free and live under the new covenant of grace, not the old." A man who lived in the 4th century who became a respected theologian was Augustine. And Augustine said this: "Love God and live as you please." That's gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the danger at that? Well, people say, "Well, if you tell people that, then they'll just want to go out and sin." No, they won't. If you love God, you will only want to do what pleases him. And so, as we are not under the old law, we are under a higher authority. We have a much more righteous standard to follow, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Whoever he is and what he is doing, that's what we follow, not Jewish law. Peter needed to learn this lesson. Now, so Paul, the Lord has told Cornelius what to do, and he has told Peter what to do, and now he needs to get them together so that Peter and Cornelius will meet. Verse 17. "Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are looking for you. arise and go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. See, here is the sovereignty of God, director of missions, superintendent of missions, getting the gospel to the people whom he has chosen to save, and he's making these arrangements. Didn't come from Cornelius, didn't come from Peter. God is doing it, and that's exactly what happened to you and I in his making arrangements for us to hear the gospel and become a Christian. I have sent them myself. Verse 21, Peter went down to the men and said, Behold, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a Roman officer, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and hear a message from you. And so Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day, he went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him, and so on. So Peter is directed by the Lord, and he's going to go to Cornelius. Now in verse 24 through 33, we have the direct meeting. Let's read that. On the next day, he arose and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and close friends. And when it came about that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Peter said, Stand up. I too am just a man. What an important that is. And how important it is for us today. For so many Christian people have come to almost worship certain leaders and exalt them to the point that is way beyond what should be. And we find to the credit of Peter, he doesn't accept that worship and says, Arise, I too am just a man. That's the way it should be. And verse 27, as he talked with them, he entered and he found many people assembled. Now he's going to get into what's on his heart and explain to them the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Verse 28, he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. The Jews called Gentiles dogs. There was hatred between the Jews and the Gentiles on both parts. And Peter is absolutely right in what he said. Verse 29, That is why I came without raising any objection when I was sent for. And so I asked, For what reason have you sent me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garment. He said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Now talk about an open door and God arranging things. Here it is. They're all assembled there and they said, We're here and we want to hear what the Lord has to say to you. An open door. That's a great thing. And we have occasion sometimes like this. So what will Peter say? Here is his declaration. In beginning at verse 34, and opening his mouth, which is a good thing to do if you're going to speak, open your mouth. And Peter said, I most certainly understand that God is not one to show partiality. Now, partiality is different than this discrimination and distinguishing. God only saves some people, his elect. He doesn't save everybody. That is discriminating, and that is distinguishing. But he doesn't show partiality. He is saving people from among every nation. He is not partial to the Jews or to the Gentiles. Verse 35, but in every nation the man that fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Here is the declaration by Peter, bold and courageous and direct, to teach them the gospel of Christ, that Christ died, that God raised him from the dead, that he is the judge, and that all who believe in him receive forgiveness of sin, whether you're Jew or Gentile, Italian, Swedish, Scottish, English, German, whatever you are, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. What a message they needed to hear. And now we read about the sovereignty of God in salvation, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, and all the circumcised believers or Jews who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. God saved these people. And we don't know how many there, but there was an assembly there of relatives and friends in the household of Cornelius. And God graciously sends the message with power and glory. The Holy Spirit comes to them, and they are believers, and they are baptized. And some of the Jews were amazed, but we give thanks to God. And we see the response of Cornelius and his household. They believed, and they were baptized. And that's the pattern for all true Christians. We believe, and we are baptized as a testimony that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last statement here in verse 48 is significant in that Cornelius says to them that they asked him to stay for a few days, Peter. Now, here is another evidence of becoming a Christian, hospitality, opening your heart, and opening your home, and opening your possessions to others. Now, in this case, here is a Gentile inviting a Jew with that hatred removed and the prejudice gone and the spiritual freedom there. They could be together in the gospel. What a great thing God has done. And you think of us here, we're a small group, but we have come from differing backgrounds, a differing social status, differing financial arrangement, but we can be one in Christ and show hospitality to one another because of what the Lord has done for us. What a great gospel we have. We want to be careful that we give a clear, direct message of the gospel, and that no one who comes to this church would be deceived to think that just by coming to church or doing external things that they are righteous before God. Not just being religious, but becoming spiritually free, set free from all of that, trusting God for our cleansing. The cleansing agent is the blood of Christ. The cleansing power is the Holy Spirit coming to us. And do not call unclean what God has cleansed. I think that we need to be really careful about ourselves. If God has saved us, forgiven our sin, washed us from our iniquity, cleansed us from our sin, we need to be careful what we say about ourselves. If God has cleansed you, do not call yourself unclean or unclean. In our experience, we sense it, but that isn't the truth about us. God has cleansed us. Now let's stay on this side of the cross, in the covenant of grace, and do not get down on ourselves and put ourselves down, because God has declared us holy and righteous. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a glorious gospel. We thank you for recording this event for us of Cornelius and Peter meeting together with the others assembled there, and a direct declaration of the gospel and how you used that and how you came to these people and saved them, and that the gospel has gone to the Gentiles and even to us, so that we could be here today as your saved people. We give you thanks for this through Christ our Lord. Amen.